Today is the 23rd day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and as is true every day, it is great to be here with you around the global campfire as we gather in and get cozy and take the next step forward. And I'm glad that we can be together as we take these next steps forward. As we're moving through the book of Job and turning our focus and attention, because this is where the Bible is leading us into human suffering. And one of the greatest things to know when we're dealing with hardship is that we're not alone. And so it is wonderful that we can take this next step forward together. And so let's do that. Let's jump in today. Job chapter 8 through 11. Then Bildad the Shuhite responded, "How long will you say such things? How long will the words of your mouth be like a blustery wind? Does God pervert justice? Does the Almighty pervert what is right? When your children sinned against him, he handed them over to the consequences of their rebellion. But if you will eagerly seek God and plead for compassion from the Almighty, if you are pure and upright, then even now he will rouse himself on your behalf, and he will restore your rightful dwelling place. Then, though your beginnings were small, your final days will be very great. Yes, ask the previous generations and consider the discoveries of their fathers, because we were born only yesterday and know nothing. Our days on earth are nothing but a shadow. Aren't our ancestors the ones who should teach you and inform you, the ones who brought forth words from their hearts? Does papyrus grow tall where there is no marsh? Do reeds thrive where there is no water? While they are still growing and uncut, they can wither faster than any other plant. This is the way it will be for all those who forget God. The hope of the godless man perishes. His source of confidence is fragile. He trusts in something as fragile as a spider's web. He leans on his web, but it does not support him. He grasps it, but it does not hold him up. He is a thriving plant, flourishing in the sunshine, spreading its shoots over the garden. It wraps its roots around a heap of rocks. It finds a home among the stones. But if it is uprooted from its place, that place disowns it, saying, 'I have never seen you.' Yes, the only good thing that comes from this situation is that from the dust another plant sprouts. Certainly God does not reject a blameless man or strengthen the hand of evildoers. He will again fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with a joyful shout. Your enemies will be clothed with shame, and the tents of the wicked will be no more." Then Job responded, "Of course I know that this is true, but how can a man be justified before God? If someone wants to argue with God, he could not refute one charge out of 1,000. God has a wise heart and great power, so who can resist God and come out of it unharmed? God removes mountains from their position, and they don't even realize it. He overturns mountains in his anger. He shakes the earth off its foundation. He causes its pillars to quake. He speaks to the sun, and it does not rise, and he seals up the stars. He alone stretches out the heavens. He treads on the crests of the sea. He made the Bear, Orion, the Pleiades, and the constellations in the southern sky. He does great things that are beyond investigation. He does miracles that are too many to be counted. Though he passes by me, I do not see him. He moves past me, but I do not detect him. If he snatches something away, who can make him bring it back? Who can say to him, 'What are you doing?' God does not hold back his anger. Even Rahab's helpers bowed down beneath him. How much less, then, will I be able to answer him? I want to match words with him, but even if I am in the right, I cannot answer him. I can only plead to my judge for grace. If I called and he responded to me, I do not believe that he would listen to my voice. With a violent storm, he would crush me, and he would inflict many wounds on me for no reason. He would not allow me to catch my breath. Instead, he would fill me with bitter experiences. If it is a question of strength, he definitely is the strong one. If it is a question of jurisdiction, who can summon him? Even if I am righteous, my mouth would still condemn me. If I am blameless, it would pronounce me crooked. Although I am blameless, I cannot evaluate myself. I reject my own life. Here is why I say it makes no difference. Blameless or wicked, he brings them all to the same end. If a whip suddenly kills people, he makes fun of the despair of the innocent. When a land is handed over to a wicked man, God blinds the eyes of its judges. If he is not the one, then who does it? My days are swifter than a runner. They fly away without bringing any happiness. They glide by like reed boats, like an eagle that swoops down on its prey. If I say, I will forget my complaint, I will put on a happy face and smile. Even then I dread all my pain, because I know that you will not acquit me. I have already been declared guilty, so why should I struggle for nothing? If I wash myself with snow, if I cleanse my hands with strong soap, then you will plunge me into a cesspool and my clothes will detest me. For he is not a man as I am, so that I am able to answer him, so that we may meet in court. There is no one to mediate between us, no one who can lay his hand on both of us. No one can make him take his rod away from me, so that the dread of him would not fill me with terror. If that happened, I would speak up and not be afraid. But I have no such mediator. I am left on my own. With all my heart, I am weary of my life. So I will express my complaint freely. I will speak from the bitterness of my heart. I will say this to God: do not condemn me. Tell me why you are pressing charges against me. Is it good that you are oppressing me? That you are rejecting what your hands have made? At the same time that you favor the plans of the wicked? Do you have eyes made of flesh? Do you see things the way man does? Are your days like a man's days? Are your years like the lifespan of a human? You do, in fact, investigate guilt, and you do search carefully for sin. Although you know that I am not guilty, there is no one who can rescue me from your hand. Your hands shaped me and made me, but now you swallow me up completely. Please remember that it was you who shaped me like a clay pot. Will you now return me to the dust? Aren't you the one who poured me out like milk, who thickened me like a curd of cheese? You clothed me with skin and flesh. You wove me together with bones and tendons. You provided me with life and mercy, and your watchful care has guarded my spirit. You hid these things in your heart, but I know that this is what you had in mind. If I sinned and you were watching me, you would not acquit me of my guilt. If I was wicked, I would be cursed. But even if I was righteous, I could not lift up my head, because I am filled with shame and aware of my misery. If I lift myself up, you hunt me down like a lion. You turn and display amazing power against me. You produce new witnesses to oppose me, and you become more irritated with me. You attack me with reinforcements. Why then did you bring me out of the womb? I wish I had died. Then no eye would have seen me. I wish I had been like someone who never lived. Then I would have been carried away from the womb to the tomb. Don't I have only a few days? Stop! Leave me alone so that I can be happy for a short time before I walk into the land of darkness and into the shadow of death, never to return into the land of gloom as dark as the shadow of death, into the land of chaos where even light is darkness. Then Zophar, the Naamathite, spoke up and responded, Doesn't this gush of words call for an answer? Can this man's bold talk be justified? Should your empty words reduce men to silence? Can you be allowed to scoff without anyone putting you in your place? You say, What I teach is untainted, and I am pure in your eyes. Oh, how I wish that God would speak up, open his lips against you, and show you the secret of wisdom. Because sound judgment must look at both sides. Then you would know that God has even forgotten some of your guilt. Can you explore the essence of God? Can you find a limit to the perfections of the Almighty? They are as high as the heavens. What can you do? They are deeper than hell. What can you know? His dimensions are greater than the earth and wider than the sea. If God comes and arrests someone and puts him on trial, who can overrule him? Certainly he recognizes deceitful men for what they are. He sees evil and he recognizes it for what it is. Before an empty-headed man gets understanding, a wild donkey colt will be born as a man. But you, if you make your heart steadfast and you spread out your hands to him, if you put away the sin you are holding in your hand and you do not allow injustice to dwell in your tents, then you will lift up your face and be blameless. You will be solid and fearless. You will certainly forget your trouble. Your memory of it will be like water that has flowed away. The rest of your life will be brighter than noon. Darkness will become like morning. You will be confident that there is hope. When you look around, you will go to bed confidently. You will lie down and no one will make you tremble. Many will seek your favor. The eyes of the wicked will fail, and their place of refuge will disappear. Their hope will vanish with their dying breath. First Corinthians 15, 1 through 28. Brothers, I am going to call your attention to the gospel that I preached to you. You received it and you took your stand on it. You are also being saved by that gospel that was expressed in the words I preached to you, if you keep your hold on it, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that he appeared to over 500 brothers at the same time, most of whom are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared also to me, the stillborn child, so to speak. For I am the least of the apostles, and I am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted God's church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not ineffective. On the contrary, I worked more than all of them, and yet it wasn't my doing, but it was the grace of God, which was with me, that did it. So whether it is I or they, that is what we preach, and that is what you believed. Now, if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how is it that some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is pointless, and your faith is pointless too. Then we are even guilty of giving false testimony about God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it were true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then it also follows that those who fell asleep in Christ perished. If our hope in Christ applies only to this life, we are the most pitiful people of all. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came by a man, the resurrection of the dead also is going to come by a man. For as in Adam they all die, so also in Christ they all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ as the first fruits, and then Christ's people at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has done away with every other ruler and every other authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Death is the last enemy to be done away with. Certainly, he has put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, when it says that all things have been put in subjection, obviously that does not include the one who subjected all things to him. But when all things have been subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, in order that God may be all in all. Psalm 38. Do not rebuke me in your anger. A psalm by David to bring to remembrance. Lord, do not rebuke me in anger. Do not discipline me in wrath. Indeed, your arrows have stuck in me. Your hand has come down on me. There is no health in my flesh because of your rage. There is no wellness in my bones because of my sin, because my guilt has gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, it is too heavy for me. My wounds stink and ooze because of my folly. I am drooping. I am completely bent over. All day long I go around mourning. Even my back burns with pain. My whole body is unhealthy. I have become numb. I am totally crushed. I groan loudly because of my anxious thoughts. Lord, all my needs lie before you. My sighs are not hidden from you. My heart beats quickly. My strength leaves me. Even the light of my eyes is gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand far away because of the blow I have suffered. My neighbors stand at a distance. Those who pursue my life set traps. Those who seek to harm me talk about my ruin. All day long they plot deception. I am deaf. I cannot hear. Like a mute person, I cannot open my mouth. I am like a man who cannot hear. No response comes from his mouth. Yet I wait for you, Lord. You will answer, O Lord my God. So I said, do not let them celebrate because of me. Do not let them gloat when my foot slips. Look, I am about to fall, and I am always in pain. So I declare my guilt, and I am troubled by my sin. My aggressive enemies are numerous. Those who hate me for no reason are many. Those who repay evil for good slander me because I pursue what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord. My God, do not be far from me. Hurry to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Proverbs 21, 28, and 29. A lying witness will perish, but a man who listens will keep speaking forever. A wicked person puts on a bold front, but an upright person gives thought to his way. Okay, so in our reading for 1 Corinthians today, Paul is discussing the resurrection of Jesus, and we can hear the passion in his voice, and there's a reason for it. And it goes back into his story. Paul was a Pharisee, and that's his religious training. And even though he counted all of that as filthy rags so that he could know Jesus, this is his background. And during the time of like Jesus' lifetime and Paul's lifetime, there were different schools of thought in Judaism. So on the one hand, we have the Sadducees. And they were the most powerful. Like, they were extremely conservative. They were the elite among the Jews, and they basically considered themselves like the true descendants of the priests of Israel. And they mostly were centered in Jerusalem, where the power was situated, and they used their power. We watched that happen in the story of Jesus. On the other side, there were the Pharisees. And they were more plentiful. They were spread out throughout the land. They were out among the people teaching. And so they were more in touch with the people. And then collectively, councils that were made up of Sadducees and Pharisees would be called the Sanhedrin. And they would wrestle with Torah and interpret and enforce Mosaic law. And one of the big distinctions between the Sadducees and the Pharisees was that they had a differing opinion on resurrection from the dead. Sadducees did not believe that the dead would rise again. When a person died, they returned to God. That's that. Pharisees hoped in the resurrection from the dead. So as a trained Pharisee, Paul always hoped in the resurrection. Just in resurrection from that God would raise people back to life from the dead. But even though he believed that, Paul would have continued his pursuit of destroying the church of Jesus had he not met the resurrected Christ. And we can probably even remember back when we were reading through the book of Acts. This is the defense Paul used when he was hauled before the Sanhedrin, and it caused conflict among the Sanhedrin, and the Pharisees started like basically defending Paul. Jesus' resurrection, that was the game changer for Paul, because that proved for Paul that resurrection is true. Jesus' resurrection was the centerpiece for all hope, and it was the proof that God was doing something new in the world. And so everything for Paul hinges on the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and the resurrection to come. Paul's so passionate about it, but let me just quote from Paul. If I preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how is it that some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is pointless and your faith is pointless too. Then we are even guilty of giving false testimony about God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it were true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. then it also follows that those who fell asleep in Christ perished. If our hope in Christ applies only to this life, we are the most pitiful people of all. Right? So Paul clearly hopes in the resurrection. And for Paul, Jesus' resurrection signified not only the continuation of the Hebrew story, but the human story. Through Jesus, God was inaugurating like a new kind of species, a new kind of human, one that was reunited with God in spirit. And Paul tells us that Jesus was the firstborn, the first one, and we are following him into this new life. So let's think about that today, the implications of the resurrection. I mean, that's our hope as Christians. And as Paul said, if this is not true, then we're going in the wrong direction. Thankfully, we believe that Jesus indeed rose from the dead, and that shows us what is to come. And that gives us a hope that is certain forever. And so, Holy Spirit, come into that. Plant that deep within us, that there is a hope, no matter what is happening in this life, that there is a hope that can never go away. Plant this deep within our soul, that we might live from this place. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, Dab family. This is Mary calling in from the teeny tiny state of Connecticut. This is my first year listening to the Daily Audio Bible. I actually started late last year listening to Jill in China, and that was lovely. And I thought for this full year, I'd like to try listening to Brian. My life is super, super busy. And I thought this could be a good tool with helping keep up my walk with the Lord. And it really has been. I can listen to the Bible when I'm driving, when I'm walking my dog. Those are two things that I do quite a bit. And, you know, initially when I started listening, I thought I would just listen to the scripture readings and to Brian's commentary and prayer. But I'm like, yeah, I don't really need to take the time to listen to the people calling in and praying because I don't even know these people. And it's not a big deal. But I want to say I was wrong. I was definitely wrong. Listening to the callers at the end of the podcast has been absolutely amazing to me. It shows me, I just see this display of believers following God's most important instructions to us, and that is to just love God above all else and to love our neighbors as ourselves. So I want to thank you, Brian, all the Dab family, and just let you know that I am very, very honored to be part of this group. God bless all of you.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is the Agent of Grace from Kentucky. I know it's been a while since I've called in. I am not doing well right now. Very hurt. Just feel very broken right now. I'm trying to love my husband through all of the issues he's having. Alcoholism is so destructive to marriages and families, and it's, you know, it's hurting me, it's hurting my children. But I just feel so unloved right now. I feel very alone. And I know I'm not alone. I know the Lord is with me. But it's really hard when you feel like the person that was supposed to love you the most and that you're the closest to and that you've built that union with is just unkind to you and makes you feel small all the time. And I just feel like I'm damaged goods right now. Just trying to move forward and know what to do. I've been seeking God and asking for his wisdom and basically just deciding if the best thing to do is to separate, which I don't believe in divorce, so it wouldn't be that type of separation, but even that he's been ugly about. So there's just doesn't seem to be a good choice. Anyway, I could use prayer. Love you.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. My name is Hannah, and I'm calling from the Gold Coast of Australia. I have got a message for Angie from North Devon. She called in on the 16th of August, and I just wanted to say that my heart really goes out for you. What you're going through is so tough. I don't know what your experience is like. I haven't lived it. I only know my own. And it really is, it is just so tough. And I know what it's like to feel like you have no answers and to just be questioning so many things and just to feel so heartbroken and like you're alone and that nobody understands. And as I said, I don't know, like I can't understand your experience, but just know that my heart goes out to you, and I know that somehow God's plan will be revealed to you, and I pray that that will be revealed to you very soon. So I'm sending you lots and lots of love and a great big hug, and just know that I'll be praying for you.
Hello everyone, this is Cece from North Carolina. I'm calling in today to give some encouragement to whoever needs to hear this. Looking at the events going on around the world is really disheartening and puts a real damper on the spirit. And the following week, I have been overcome with a lot of emotion, and the Holy Spirit has implored on my heart that I need to get back into my Bible and start reading his word more in my own time. And I say that because you need to build up your relationship with the Lord so you can discern things that are not meant for you and things that are meant for you. I implore you every day to start your day with a prayer, put on the full armor of God, and walk your day with your head held high and know that you are a child of God. And the enemy is always lurking around to make you feel like you are nothing, you are worthless, and that nothing you can do can change anything. But just know that you could be a light in someone's life who might need it in any given time. And what better way to prepare for that than to read his word and be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. I love you guys, and I hope y'all all have a great day.